Welcome to Protocol. Protocol are audio versions of Teleport's best technical blog posts. Full articles are available at goteleport.com/blog.
How SAML 2.0 authentication works. April 13th, 2021 by Russell Jones. Originally published July 29th, 2019. What is SAML 2.0? Security Assertion Markup Language, SAML, 2.0 is one of the most widely used open standards for authentication and authorizing between multiple parties. It's one of the protocol that gives users the single sign-on, SSO, experience for applications. The other adopted open standard is OAuth and OpenID. Of the two, SAML 2.0, released in 2005, remains the 800-pound gorilla in the enterprise SSO space. This post provides a detailed introduction on how SAML works. At its core, Security Assertion Markup Language, SAML 2.0, is a means to exchange authorization and authentication information between services. SAML is frequently used to implement internal corporate single sign-on, SSO, solutions where the user logs into a service that acts as a single source of identity, which then grants access to a subset of other internal services. The advantage of adopting SAML/SSO from a security perspective are clear. Single source of identity. When an employee joins or leaves a company, you don't have to worry about the myriad of internal services that now have to be updated and the ones that will inevitably be missed. Enforce consistent authentication. SAML/SSO can be used to enforce consistent methods of authentication across all internal corporate services, like multi-factor authentication and session duration. This particular post will be focused on providing an overview of the how and why of SSO and SAML. SAML terminology. Unfortunately, before going any further, we have to define some SAML-specific terminology, of which a fair amount exists. Principal. The principal is the user trying to authenticate. You can think of this as the actual human behind the screen. For the remainder of this post, we'll assume it's John Smith. It is helpful to think about principal having metadata attached to it. First name, last name, email address, etc. This metadata is also called identity information, and its importance will be explained below. Identity provider. An identity provider, frequently abbreviated as IDP, is the service that serves as the source of identity information and authentication decision. Think of identity providers as databases for identity information. Identity providers authenticate principals and return identity information to service providers. See below. A few examples of common identity providers: AuthO, Active Directory Federation Services, ADFS, and Okta. The industry best practice is to consolidate all user identities of an organization in a single identity provider. Service providers. Service providers, frequently abbreviated as SP, are the services that are requesting authentication and identity information about the principal. Service providers take authentication responses received from identity providers and use that information to create and configure sessions. In other words, a service provider is an application that offers a single sign-on mechanism for its users to log in and access its resources. Such applications, in addition to knowing a principal name or email address, may need to request additional identity information about a principal, usually to implement role-based access control, RBAC. Examples of such applications include GitHub and Google Apps. Teleport, our SSH and Kubernetes access solution, is also a service provider. Flows. SAML supports two different types of flows: those initiated by the service provider and those initiated by the identity provider. In this post, we'll cover the common SP-initiated flow. In SP-initiated flows, you start out at the service provider, are redirected to the identity provider to authenticate, and then are redirected back to the service provider. This flow is usually initiated when a user clicks on Login with SSO button or something similar. Bindings. Bindings are the format in which data is transferred between service providers and identity providers. The two most popular are HTTP redirect binding and HTTP post binding. HTTP redirect bindings transfer data using HTTP redirects and query parameters. This type of binding is typically used in authentication requests. HTTP post bindings transfer data using HTTP post forms. This type of binding is typically used in authentication responses. In other words, bindings define how the identity information about the principal is communicated from an identity provider to a service provider. Assertions. Assertions are statements made by the identity provider about the principal. For example, the principal's email address and/or groups/roles the principal may be associated with. Assertions are used by the service provider to create and configure sessions for a principal. In other words, assertions define what identity information about the principal is communicated from an identity provider to a service provider. SAML login flow. To illustrate how SAML login works, we are going to use Teleport as an example of a service provider and Auth0 for an identity provider. The SAML login flow is shown on the diagram below. 1. A user clicks on Login via Auth0 button, choosing to log in via Auth0 using SAML as opposed to using Teleport's built-in user database. Teleport redirects the user to Auth0. SAML authentication begins. We'll refer to the user as Principal from now on. 2. Auth0 asks the user for their username or email, their password, and the second factor, 2FA, authentication token. 3. If the supplied information is correct, Auth0 takes the principal's identity information and returns it back to Teleport as assertions. 4. Teleport receives the identity information from Auth0, and this allows it to create a user session. Configuration. Identity providers all have their own unique methods of configuration. However, the following minimal set of configuration is needed for the identity provider to work with a service provider. An assertion consumer service, ACS, URL has to be configured. The ACS URL is an endpoint on the service provider where the identity provider will redirect to with its authentication response. This endpoint should be an HTTPS endpoint because it will be used to transfer personally identifiable information, PII. Generate and upload a signing key to be used to sign authentication requests. More on this later. Configuration of assertions, which includes information about the principal. The source and format of this information will need to be configured. At the minimum, the identity provider will send a name ID and some assertions about the principal, like group membership. Service provider configuration is typically simpler and can often be automatically configured by parsing metadata provided by the identity provider. Simplified identity provider metadata XML is shown in Figure 2 below. The most important tags are single sign-on service and key descriptor. The single sign-on service tags define the binding and endpoints to send authentication requests to, and the key descriptor tags contain the public key of the identity provider, which will be used to validate the authentication response. Figure 2, simplified metadata from an identity provider. Authentication request. To begin the login process, the principal typically will navigate to the service provider's login page and then click on a button that reads something like Login via SSO. At this point, the service provider will create an authn request XML document, serialize it, base64, compress, and URL encode, add it as a query parameter to the URL, and redirect the principal's browser to the identity provider's login page. As the name of the request implies, the service provider is requesting the identity provider to perform authentication on its behalf. It should go without saying that this and all other requests and responses should occur over HTTPS. The authn request is often sent using HTTP redirect binding and ends up looking something like the following. Where the SAML request parameter is the encoded authn request, a simplified auth-n request follows, as shown in the diagram in the blog post. Figure 3. Simplified authentication request sent by the service provider to the identity provider. A few things to note about the auth-n request. The service provider generates a large secure random number and inserts it into the ID field in the auth-n request tag. This value is also stored locally, typically in a database, and is used to pair requests with responses from an identity provider and to prevent a malicious third party from sending an unsolicited response to a request. It would not know the ID. To prevent the reuse of expired auth-n requests, the identity provider needs to store and track which ID values have been used thus far. Without some kind of time bound, this would lead to the identity provider needing an ever-increasing amount of storage. The issue instant is used to generate that validity window for the request. The service provider should sign the auth-n request. The SAML signing scheme includes the signature, key used to sign the request, and information on how to calculate the signature, all under the signature tag. The identity provider should not only validate the included key used to sign the request, but also that the key is the same as the one uploaded during configuration. See previous section. If the key does not match, is missing, or if the signature values do not match, the identity provider knows the request is not legitimate and to reject it. XML digital signatures, which is what SAML uses to sign requests, are a large and complex topic in itself. Signing an XML document using XML DSIG is a good place to start to learn more. Authentication response. Returning back to the authentication flow, at this point, the principal is sitting at the login page of the identity provider. If the principal enters their correct login credentials, the identity provider will perform a 302 redirect to the ACS URL of the service provider with body containing the authentication response. In the example we have been tracking, the ACS URL would look like the following: https://sp.example.com/saml/acs. A simplified SAML response would look like the following diagram. Figure 4. Simplified authentication response sent by the identity provider to the service provider. When a service provider receives an authentication response, it should first check if the in response to attribute references an ID of an auth-n request that the service provider actually sent. In addition, the issue instant attribute should be used to scope the validity window of the response. The reasoning for why these are important has already been explained in the previous section. The ACS URL to which the authentication response is delivered performs no authentication of the client. This is why the signature in the authentication response must be checked to ensure the client is the identity provider. For readers familiar with the concept of webhooks, this is conceptually very similar. Information is exchanged out of band ahead of time, often an API key in the case of webhooks, which is then used to authenticate the client. The response also contains four new interesting tags: status, subject, conditions, and attribute statement. The status tag contains the authentication result, success or failure. The subject tag identifies the principal that just authenticated. As seen in Figure 4, the name ID tag contains the email address of the principal that authenticated, jsmith@example.com. The conditions tag defines constraints on the assertions. For example, the not before and not on or after attributes define the time duration that the assertions are valid. This prevents a malicious actor from recording a valid authentication response and then replaying at a later time, perhaps after the principal's account has been removed. The attribute statement tag contains assertions that the identity provider is making about the principal. As mentioned previously, assertions typically contain information like group membership within an organization, allowed logins, or any other relevant identifying information about the principal. In Figure 4, the principal is part of the group's admins and developers and is allowed to log in as root and J. Smith. As mentioned above, it's important to keep in mind assertions about a principal are a snapshot in time of identifying information. Providing long-lived assertions or sessions is, in general, a security risk. Keep assertions and sessions reasonably short-lived and force reauthentication to ensure that any assertions that the identity provider made about the principal are still valid. Conclusion. What a service provider does with the response is up to the discretion of the service provider. However, typically, a successful response will create a session on an internal service, providing a single source of identity and consistent authentication across internal services. One common example is a service provider wanting to know which user group a principal belongs to. This allows to implement role-based access control policy, which says that only users from SSH group should be given access to the production SSH environment. A different policy can be implemented for accessing Kubernetes clusters or the CI/CD pipeline, etc. Generally, SAML authentication solves three important problems. SAML offers significant improvement to user experience. Users only have to remember their credentials with a single identity provider and don't have to worry about usernames and passwords for every application they use. SAML allows application developers to outsource identity management and authentication implementation to external providers and don't have to implement it themselves. And perhaps most importantly, SAML dramatically reduces the operational overhead of managing access within an organization. If an employee leaves or transfers to another team, their access will be automatically revoked or downgraded across all applications connected to the identity provider. Hopefully, that provides a good snapshot of how SAML works. If you'd like to learn more about how we integrate with various SSO services, you can read more on how to implement SSO for SSH access or on how to implement SSO for Kubernetes.